We have a parade of techniques and an Ask the Experts question each for you today, as usual. And I get to start.
Yep.
Because my parade of techniques grew out of an Ask the Experts question.
Oh.
Do you know these artificial life forms that are exploiting loopholes in the multiple listing system by listing like a limited service company or what are they called? Entry only, some kind of flat fee. It's like about $600 in the, you can list your house for sale, which is essentially like being a for sale by owner.
Yeah.
And one of our students had an offer on that listing.
Okay.
And couldn't find a listing agent.
Oh.
Because there isn't one.
Yeah, right.
You know, so the question was, how do I submit an offer to something where I can't find a listing agent? And okay. The answer was, go get that listing.
Ooh.
In other words, do your research into what actually constitutes an exclusive agency in your multiple listing system, because maybe these don't. You don't know what their contract looks like, and maybe it isn't even a contract. It's just exploiting some kind of loophole in the rules. But here's a way to at least get 3% on your offer, if not a full 6% minus whatever they paid. Bring an offer to the seller.
Well, we're not fixing commissions here. They're negotiable. So that was an example of the numbers that you might
exempla gratia. That's
right. Because you could take 8%. I mean, commissions are negotiable. Follow your MLS rules, right? You just don't know what they are. I mean, we know we're not supposed to solicit listings that are in the MLS. So find out the rules.
Okay. Caveat. There's all kinds of, but you know what? These vermin don't belong in our multiple listing system.
Okay, I have a parade of techniques too. All right, so
I feel strongly about this.
No,
did you get that idea?
No. Okay. All right. So like a year ago, this person came to their R Squared call and said, I feel like I am sleeping too much in the morning. Like I get up at 7:30, 8:30. And then by the time I get to the office, the day is half gone. And then I'm working too late. And so I don't see my spouse. I need to recalibrate. And so he got all kinds of ideas and he kind of sculpted this plan. And so here we are. A year later, and he came to this week's call with results.
Cool.
Isn't it cool? This is his parade of techniques. So let me tell you what my schedule is. First of all, I have my spouse's total buy-in. We get up between 5:30 and 6 every morning. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to do that, but that's the adjustment that they made in their lifestyle. Okay. And in the nice weather, they go sit out in the courtyard. No phones, no news, no distractions. Enjoy the looking at the stars if it's not light yet. Enjoy watching the sunrise together. Have a bit of morning routine, a bit of conversation. Love that part of day. A coffee. And then get going for the day. So they try to leave the house at 6:30. Out the door. Into the office or work out first and then into the office at the office by 8 a.m., which because starting the day so much earlier, guess what that means if you're careful? Now, it can also mean you work more hours. So, you know, the choice there is to be smart, use your smart week, do your top five and set a target of being home for dinner at least some of the nights of the week. So I love that. I've changed my life by adjusting my time. My marriage is better, stronger, happier, and we have more time together in our relationship that we didn't have before. Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably helps if you go to bed earlier too.
Yeah. I mean, if you're perfectly happy with your routine and your family is too, don't worry about it. But if there's some adjusting to be done, you can make the adjustment, make a choice, get your family to buy in, and whatever that rhythm is for you, we'd love to hear your success story. Send us a text or an email.
That's, you know, the essence of Ask the Experts and R Squared. So what did Zig say to Floyd years ago? I like giving advice to you, Floyd. I always take your call because I not only hear from you, I hear
of you. And you always let me know
what kind of results
you got from the advice I gave.
Beautiful. Well, my Ask the Experts question has a piece of advice attached to it.
Okay.
That came as a piece of advice attached to two other Ask the Experts questions.
This is a bit confusing.
And a parade of techniques.
What?
Like, I heard this over and over and over. Four separate times. This one piece of advice.
Yeah, that would be four separate times.
But here was the Ask the Experts question centered around going down the rabbit hole.
Okay.
And the rabbit hole is...
We have lots of rabbit holes, actually. But the particular one you're referring to is...
Well, early on in the year, maybe things aren't happening as fully as you wanted them to. But this is... I feel like I'm dead as a doornail. I'm working expireds. I'm doing my podcasts. I'm on social media. I'm showing up, but I am still struggling.
With end result, with signatures?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I look on social media, and it looks like everyone else is doing so well. What's wrong with me?
Well, good thing we have these calls because we can't let that go on forever.
So,
oh my.
Here is the first piece of advice that I heard, not for this question, but for this one and two others. Go book a vacation. That's what you need. Right. Because whenever you book a vacation, the phones start ringing off the hook.
Oh, yeah.
And the day you get back from a vacation, the phones are ringing off the hook. So that was the first piece of advice. Here we go. Figure out a way to get into some unique prospecting methods. Here was one. I go down to the town board of health and find out whose septic system is not in compliance.
What?
Yeah.
Ooh,
you can find that out. Well, the county records sure. have all kinds of things that can help you find unique prospects, especially listing prospects. How about this? I've started doing Augmentino scrolls again.
Aww.
And I'm doing it with other people. And in fact, the cool thing is I get to listen to Augmentino actually read the scrolls at least once a day because they're free, available on YouTube and also SoundCloud. Do your morning headspace. Sometimes, just like with your... Parade of techniques. Yeah.
So weird.
You got to get into a routine that gives you headspace in the morning. I like calling it finding your center first thing in the day before you start working.
Did you just make that up on this minute? Wait, I've never heard you call it that.
Well, that's you haven't been listening. See, everything that needs to be said has already been said, but no one was listening. So it has to be said again.
Thank you, Kyle.
George Harrison called it within you and without you. That's right. That's what happens when you get centered. Here's another one. Limit your exposure to social media. You might be doing too much on social media.
Okay.
And you know what Kyle taught us about why most agents' social media stuff doesn't help them at all. It's because they're bragging too much. Yes. And the public thinks everybody's doing so well. And wow, we don't need that. Schedule yourself some LFTs. You know what those are, things you look forward to. It's not just a vacation.
Right. It can be little things too. It can be, you know, home cooked dinner with the whole family helping in the kitchen. I mean, it can be anything that you're looking forward to.
This particular agent happens to live on a lake and does a lot of business around the lake. And so was told, because you're in the Northeast, guess what's on the way? Boating season. So start talking to your boater friends. In other words, there's another part of your niche market, your book of business. Okay, get face-to-face with people. That's going to get you out of your rabbit hole. Get back in the game and get face-to-face with live ones. Do you have a conspicuous chart somewhere that shows you're making progress toward your goal? Because you get out of those rabbit holes and you feel better about moving forward. Because what does Floyd say? No matter how small the steps are, if you know you're going in the right direction, eventually you'll get there. It's harder to stay motivated when you don't see any progress at all toward that goal. And that will help give you perspective. And my piece of advice was go volunteer at a hospice. If you really want perspective on gratitude for being alive, wow. Go down to a hospice once a month or once a week and volunteer somehow, and you'll start thanking God that you are alive and breathing and have this wonderful business that you can pursue. Get perspective. And there you go. That's my essay experts question.
All right. Well, I have an essay experts question too. Here's the question. So I received this contract on my listing from an agent that has been in the business for 7 years. Don't know how much business she does, co-op agent. But her clause that I'm most concerned about, there were a bunch of weird things in there that we need to adjust because they don't have dates on them. They don't have limits on them. So I prepared a counteroffer with those adjustments that have to be made. Mm-hmm. But this is the one that's got me befuddled. It says seller to pay up to 3% of buyer's closing costs.
Okay.
Okay. Well, what's 3% of the buyer's closing costs? So let's say the closing costs, we don't have a dollar amount, but let's say they're $7,000. What's 3% of $7,000?
$2,100.
Yeah. Now, is that what they meant? No, it's not 21. That would be 30%.
Is it?
Yeah, it would be 210.
200, that's, wow, pocket change.
Is that what they meant?
Is that what they really want?
Right, and if that's not what they meant, then am I going to encounter this
no
later?
No wonder you're confused.
With this? I mean, wow. What? 3% of buyer's closing costs? Are you kidding me? This doesn't make any sense. So everyone weighed in all the way around the horn. And to a person, we all agreed that it's better to confront the issue now than to just pretend that we didn't recognize that the agent probably made a mistake. She probably or probably meant 3% of the sale price, 3%. I mean, I don't know what she really actually meant, but it wasn't probably a $200 item, right? So rather than have it come back and bite you later, take the bull by the horns. And it was pretty much determined that the first step should be a phone call to the other agent to say, I've got a concern about the way this is written. What is it that you intended to write? Let's start there. And then let's figure out how we're going to respond to that. Communicate with the seller, how we're going to respond. It sounds like we have to do a counteroffer anyway. But, you know, I think this Ask the Experts question just kind of reminded everybody, and we all had horror stories of, yeah, untrained co-brokers, people writing things that don't make any sense. What about not to exceed blank percent? I mean, there's so many up to blank percent. There's so many ways of writing clauses that we have to be very careful that we are clear, and better to handle it now before entering into a contract than to discover we've gone ahead and signed something and we're bound, but that's not what was intended. And now we have a fall through. So deal with it up front. Be honest, be transparent. That was really neat advice because every single person said exactly the same thing. That's what you got to do.
Well, if they were asking me, my advice would be don't write clauses because you're not a lawyer. Just fill in blanks. That's what our contract's supposed to be. Stay safe that way.
Well, and there are places you can go to get clauses that have been prepared by lawyers. In fact, many of your offices probably have a food bank of clauses. And that's not the right word, but, you know, a folder somewhere with clauses in them. So maybe it means that you look those up and that you store them and use those rather than create from whole cloth.
So protect yourself, protect your clients, and take care of your attitude. That's our message for this week. We'll see you next time.